Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I'm Tim Healy, and I'm inviting you to join me each and every Wednesday so you can be prepared to win the battle for business. Yes, that's right. Now, listen, I know you're out there. You're closing deals. You're making money. You're turning prospects into profits, so I've got to make it worth your while. That's why I have on the kinds of guests that you can listen, learn, and earn from. Today's guest is no exception. So as always, thanks for being on board the show. Thanks for some of your time today. And always a special thanks to our sponsor, Corbett Public Relations. They've been promoting and protecting businesses and brands for over 30 years. So hey, do me a favor. Visit Bill and his team at CorbettPR.com. That's CorbettPR.com. So welcome aboard, everybody. Now, today's guest has a rather unique story. It's the kind of story that you can absolutely listen, learn, and earn from. He has been recently ranked number one in his industry here on Long Island, number two in New York State, number 36 across the country. And he's also recently been named to the Inc. 5000 list. So with somebody like that, I knew I wanted to have him on the Profit Express. You got to find out how an entrepreneur like that achieves that kind of success. So his name, Andrew Russell. He is the owner of RCG Mortgage. And it all started, interestingly enough, in 2007 when he was a green loan originator for an FDIC bank. Now, I'm sure you can remember what happened to the mortgage business in 2007, 2008. It was a major crisis. It was a collapse of historic proportion. Now, interestingly enough, he just entered the industry in 2007. But what I find fascinating, and we're certainly going to talk about it with Andrew today, is why he stayed in the industry, and not just stayed and persisted in the industry, but 5 years ago, he opened up his own mortgage business. And now he employs nearly 50 people. So it's certainly the kind of story that I want to dig deep on, get Andrew's perspective as to how he's created some really phenomenal success in what is a relatively short period of time. So it's a great pleasure to welcome aboard the Profit Express, Andrew Russell, owner, RCG Mortgage. Andrew, how are you today?
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me, Tim. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to speaking, going back and forth a little.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Hey, listen, to have somebody with, I'll call it your credentials, your rankings locally here on the island, across the state, and even the nation, listen, it captures everybody's attention. And the listeners, you know, their fellow business owners like you, perhaps their wannabe business owners. And we always want to hear how somebody like you got to the point you're at. So what I find interesting is you were in the industry and you started in the industry in 2007. And again, everybody knows what happened to the mortgage industry in 2007, historic collapse. So what happened for you not to up and run, but instead to persist and stay in the industry, which led you to obviously having your own business?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a great question to, you know, I start in the business and instantly overnight it's chaos. And it's like, well, why wouldn't you go to another business? You know, especially if you've just been in the business for 5 minutes. So, you know, to be clear, I did one subprime loan. It was pretty wild. You know, there's all those movies we see, The Big Short and various things. I didn't experience any of that. So, you know, I actually, before I was a guidance counselor, I was a football coach. You know, I was wanted to work with kids, you know, middle school, high school children for various reasons. So to me, going from that space to the mortgage business, you know, my first killer month when, you know, you tip five figures from a commission perspective, I thought I was rich. But, you know, people before me, you know, some of my predecessors in the space, a lot of them who aren't in the mortgage space anymore, to be transparent, you know, they were making so much money, so it was hard for them, you know, after the crash, to pivot into what was maybe potentially a more normalized income stream. But, you know, I was at a great company. My hat's off to Sterling National Bank, you know, to some of the guys I learned from. I had some great mentors, and we just did things right. You know, we got into very quick from 07 to 08, you know, as you're hitting 08 and then you have the crash. We got into the purchase market. I think a lot earlier than most of our competitors. So since 2008, I've been a purchase-minded, you know, loan officer, you know, whatever you want to call what we do, loan officer, mortgage loan originator. But since 2008, I knew, and think about it, I came from the teaching space, right? From guidance counselor, you know, the teaching world, the tenure concept. So I knew in this country, and especially we just went through a pandemic and it applied, the world would have to end for people to stop buying houses, to stop needing financing. So I knew if I got into a purchase space, even when it was very difficult in OA moving forward, as long as I did purchase mortgage and that was my focus, I would have a job forever. So I found the right niche very quick, right after, you know, the crash of 07, 08. Right when I started, you know, it got very difficult, but we pivoted at the perfect time to what I considered a career.
Now, you see, we've already started off the show with a very interesting learning point, Andrew. So a lot of people would say, you know, on the surface, wow, the industry collapses, get the heck out, right? But you said you were with Sterling Bank, I think you mentioned. So you're with Sterling National Bank. So you had a good opportunity. You got into the purchasing side, correct? And where a lot of people would just automatically think when there's a crisis, you actually saw the opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, listen, in the niche, right? The riches are in the niches. That's like a whole big saying, right? And it's the truth.
Sure.
You know, any times when people are running away, that's when I've always in my life, like, well, why? You know, I'm not saying in every type of, you know, space, financial, you know, or various things, as the going gets tough, you shouldn't get going.
Right.
But in our space, I saw that, listen, you know, I'm not doing this for the money, but obviously I have to support my family. I have an amazing family and I do like to spoil my children. You know, it is what it is. I'm proud
sure.
of it. I'm never changing. I have a huge heart. So to spoil them, you know, you need a couple bucks in the bank. So our business is very profitable. The level of profitability to me works. Maybe it didn't to my predecessors. But with that said, the experience. So I brought, like, I just love mortgage. I'm a big guy, as you can tell. You know, big football fan. Unfortunately, I'm a Jet fan, so I have a life of misery ahead of me. And for my children, who will be Jet fans if they want to be in the will or want me to buy them a car in 10 years when they need one. You know, but nonetheless, there's this whole psychology background. I have a master's in psychology. The mortgage process on a purchase, it's a ride, man. It's like you speak to the people. There's so much psychology behind it, empathy needed. Talk to clients like they're actually human beings, not necessarily like a file or, you know, more of that business sense. Like I have a psych background versus business. And I think in a purchase market, you know, mortgage broker company gearing
right,
towards
right.
purchase clients, it's really helped. But, you know, getting into what I do at the crash when it was difficult, I just love it. You know, and I saw there was a real need. The market had a real need, especially in this local area, for someone, because it is very difficult. Make no mistake, no matter who you are, you could be, you know, two teachers with 800 credit scores on Credit Karma, putting down 40%. Something in New York always goes wrong when you buy a house, and it's not necessarily the client's fault. So you'd be surprised if you sat a day in my shoes seeing some of the stuff we saw. Who
right.
makes mistakes? Who, you know, things have to be fixed. We're almost like, you know, the Ray Donovan of mortgage, right? Like we're fixers in so many words.
Right.
You know, but with that said, there's a need for what we do. I don't think the New York market, not in 2008, and certainly not in 2022, more often than not, it is not ready right now for a buyer to, you know, go on their phone and click a button and get a mortgage.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
It's great for those companies nationally, but like this market back then and even now, there's a substantial need for someone that has the psychology background, that over-educates, that gives a counseling consultation, you know, versus just like a business consultation. I saw that. I saw it was a scalable business, you know, to get
right,
to the
right.
business side.
Mm-hmm.
From a team building perspective, you know, I geeked out and learned how to truly build a team to scale, right? So, you know, with all those concepts I saw in the right niche, in the mortgage space, when people were leaving and getting into other spaces that were less regulated, I saw a massive opportunity. And honestly, Tim, I'm the guy that if I put my mind to something, I will never fail. Just how I
so
am.
Then,
second place. Go ahead.
So then a real advantage for you then was not coming from the sales background, but as you said, football coach, guidance counselor, a background in psychology, you said. So that is something that, and we're going to get into, you know, being the business owner and the manager in a little while, but that seems to have been, and I want to make sure the listeners get that, a clear advantage for you when you started. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I grew up, like I said, I was about to say second place is first loser, you know, which is tough. My grandfather was very difficult, especially. But, you know, me, I've always been obsessed with, you know, why? Like, why do people feel that way? Empathizing, understanding feelings. So, you know, typically you don't get into the mortgage space or at least, you know, not want to do something financial without that type of background. Right. Yes, for me, the psychology background really helped. So it just proves the point. You can go to college, get a great degree, and study a space that isn't necessarily what you're getting into per se on paper, but, you know, that, you know, different type of philosophy, you know, which is somewhat abnormal to the space, but just knowing different, you know, different spaces per se, not just like hyper-focus on the business side, bringing other type of methodologies into business has always been an advantage, I thought.
So now, it didn't sound like you had the typical experience of a loan originator through the crisis because of, you know, your timing and where you started. So from your perspective, you know, looking back now, what was the biggest lesson that you took away from that crisis that happened to your industry?
I mean, look, I've always been taught you have to work smarter, not harder, but there is a level of hustle. It's called, you know, I call it good old New York grit and grind, right? That, and even now, here I am, you know, I just turned 40 last November. I'm going to turn 41 in a blink of an eye. And even as an owner, you talk about a leader, and we'll get into that. Like, I lead by example. I don't show up late. I don't leave early. I'm the type of guy, I will out hustle anybody, but also you have to do it in a smart way. And I saw, you know, predecessors, you know, they weren't doing it. In my opinion, they weren't putting in the hours that were necessary. So I was going to out hustle the next guy. You know, that coupled with doing it the right way in business, right? So you want to work smart, not hard, meaning you don't want to spend all your time prospecting and trying to lead gen for something that's going down a path where you're not going to monetize, right? I always knew I devoted my time where, yeah, I'd out hustle the next guy, but I devoted my time in an avenue that I knew that when I did what I, or when I did what I set my mind to, I knew on the other side of the fence would be profitability and a good monetization cycle. Other people would do, right? What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. I saw many people just doing the same thing, not, you know, redefining who they are, like changing business model. I've pivoted as a mortgage professional so many times with different, you know, type of lead gen systems and referral systems. And what's my value prop to realtors or to the market? You always have to make sure you're staying on top of what the best thing is, because some people, you know, again, they stay in the same lane. They don't change anything. It's definitely, you know, they're not reevaluating their business model. And just because you have a model that works today does not mean that you have a model that's going to work January 2023 as an example. This is something that I think I have great foresight. And that was really the difference. I made sure what the lane I was in, I was going to out hustle everybody, but also it could end up as the most profitable because, you know, nobody wants to waste their time.
Right. And of course, I have, you know, with all the entrepreneurs and business owners I had, you know, probably one of the recurring themes is hustle, because all the super successful ones, the great ones, all have an element of hustle. So it's great to hear you say that, of course, and not a surprise either. Now, so you're in the industry, you've had your own business for 5 years. And that's RCG Mortgage. Now, again, we all know, you know, the fail rate of new businesses. So you've made it past certainly one of the milestones being in business 5 years. Take me back to when you decided, hey, you know what? I want to do this on my own. Now is the right time. What was that moment like for you, and how did you make that decision?
You know, there's entrepreneurs and entrepreneurial spirit, right? It's like there's something inside us that's like, you know what? I want to do something. Nothing's going to get in our way of success. And I want to be proud of myself. You know, I want to leave a legacy for my kids, all that good stuff. So as I was going to venture and open up my own company, everybody was talking me out of it. Everyone, you know, literally, you know, friends, family, attorneys I spoke to that I needed to represent me. They're like, what are you, crazy, man? In the most regulated the space has ever been. And you know what I did? I did not listen to them. So, you know, like Arnold and that big talk about the naysayers. If I would have listened to this the naysayers, you would not be speaking to me today. So what's my advice to entrepreneurs. If you believe it and you have a meticulous, make no mistake, a meticulous business plan on how to execute on your business, nothing should ever get in your way for a multitude of reasons. But back then, I remember everyone was saying no. I was like, you know what? I had an airtight business plan. And I knew, I'm not a student of business. I'm a student of psychology. But I knew in the limited amount I knew of business, you know, and I'm a smart guy, catch on fast, ask a lot of questions. And I've always had a lot of great relationships, a lot of great mentors. The killer of a new business is fixed cost. So when I rolled out, yeah, I could have got a big, expensive, bloated, you know, rental space with all the bells and whistles. You could walk in, there would have been a Red Bull fountain, and who knows what I would have done. It'd be cool. I did none of that. I kept it nimble. I had a small space. You know, I spent my money on stuff I thought was necessary, which is the great technology and all the cool tech stack stuff. You know, but I was very humble when I first rolled out.
Right.
And I still am. You know, so to me, I prefer to have the fixed costs remain as low as possible. So yep, I have more opportunity to spend some of my variable revenue on various things. So that was the key to my success. I knew I could have either went down the dark path, which is, oh, let's roll out hard. Let's have this, you know, crazy space, all these cool things that aren't necessary per se. I kept my fixed costs down, and that gave me the opportunity as more revenue kept coming in to reinvest into things that helped me grow my business. Because we all know a great storefront, that doesn't help you grow your business. That's a would like. It's not a must have. I made sure the must haves for success, that's where my money went.
So you mentioned, listen, keeping overhead down as best you can. I always say lean and mean. You know, you don't want to spend money on things you're not making money off of, obviously. Because then if you have the overhead that'll kill you, it's going to kill cash flow. And then we know what happens if your cash flow is not healthy. So that in itself is great advice. But you said something I want to go back to that caught my attention, Andrew. And you said, I had a meticulous business plan. I've never heard of somebody describe a business plan as being meticulous. What do you mean by that?
So meticulous, right? So some of us suffer from the entrepreneurial bug called OCD. Right? So where is OCD good? OCD is making sure that if you're going to do something, you know, at least with business, it's been phenomenal, right? If you're going to do something, you're going to plan it out. You're going to obsess over it. Why? Second place is first loser. Oh, that whole headspace that, you know,
right,
that people like myself, we suffer from, but, you know, it helps with business. So business plan, meticulous, getting it down to a science. Literally, I had Word docs and, you know, endless amounts of pages and notebooks at the kitchen table, just any ideas where I literally mapped out down to the penny, down to how do you make the phone ring, when the phone ring, what happens from there forward, every little thing, you know, post-close, when a loan closes, what, where we're going to, you know, host all of our different automations, you know, what systems we were going to use, are we going to be paperless, are we going to be paper, you know, everything down to a science. And even then, I'd give it a minute, give it a day, give it a week, and re-go through the whole thing over and over until I felt I was ready to roll out a company and everything was accounted for. When I say meticulous, like down to, you know, what type of water we're going to get, where we're going to get it from as a company, you know, anything and everything,
right,
I knew.
Right.
Just because that's what it was. I, in fairness, I OCD'd every single day to be successful about it. You know, every little thing on my phone, I had apps to take notes, but I made sure I didn't have, you know, what this rollout of a company.
Yeah, yeah.
I made sure everything I had planned out. So, you know, a meticulous business plan, that to me is like, if you're going to do something and you want to do it phenomenal, everything has to be mapped out to the last item.
So it sounds like, as you're describing the plan, it sounds like you're also very process driven in how you're doing things, processing the mortgages, so on and so forth. So you really, as you said, it's meticulous, every detail, and it sounds like processes are a big part of your success.
Yeah, so there's, I guess, in fairness to your question, right, there's one thing to open a company and wear the owner hat. I wear a lot of hats, right?
Sure.
I know you can't tell because, you know, I show off the baldness, but, you know, assuming that I'm wearing some of the hats that you could see right now, you know, what are the hats, right? There's the owner hat, there's the HR, there's the compliance hat, there's the sales hat, you know, because technically I'm a salesman. to your point, there's processes. So like, what separates me from the next guy? How do I give a 5-star raving fan experience, which gets us reviews? And of course, repeat business, which is obviously amazing for companies like myself. It's having the best experience. The customer front-facing experience has to be perfect, right? And what does perfect mean? I feel like my vision of perfect might differ from someone else. But I also have a very, very, very high standard. You could ask my wife. She would attest to this through and through. The standard of excellence for Andrew Russell very much differs than my competition. So for a client, that's amazing. For Andrew Russell, RCG Mortgage, there's a very high standard. There's a high bar that we set. Because to me, what separates me from the guy down the street, it's the customer experience. So we're like next level from an experience perspective.
So it's kind of interesting. You know, so here I'm talking to you, getting a sense of who you are. You know, you can always read a bio before a show. And again, you got great accolades as to how you're ranked. You guys, again, congratulations, making the Inc. 5000 list. And don't be offended by this, Andrew. The mortgage business is the mortgage business. It doesn't, you know, some people might not say it's a very exciting or sexy kind of business. But man, it sounds like it really seems like and sounds like you love this. You're passionate for this mortgage business.
So I'm a big mortgage geek. It's so crazy to say, because if you ever saw me, you know, 9/11 this year's Jets opening game, you know, if you saw me in the tailgate, you'd be like, what do you do for a living? You know, you're a bro, you're one of us. But like for mortgage, I just love the business in and of itself. I love, because I get a lot of satisfaction with helping people. You know, that's just how I've always been. I'm the type of person, if anyone in my life has ever needed anything, they're getting the jacket off my back. They're getting, if I have $2 in my pocket, they're getting $3. It's just how I am. But I really enjoy speaking to a client, walking them through the process, you know, seeing what they do for a living versus me. You know, because of course, many times I work with firemen, I work with police officers. We have a hero appreciation program where we help them in different ways. We have different incentives, right? So I'm not the guy running into a house. So what can I do? I could show appreciation to them. If I, you know, something happens, we have to call 911. I'm not like, I couldn't imagine working in their shoes. So I try to help them because they don't know how to work in my shoes. Like everything I say, there's a lot of anxiety, you know, on the purchase side. So I just felt like, you know, giving back, walking them through the process, being available 24/7, no one is more available than me. And I own a company, right? I should have assistants and, you know, VAs and auto replies. I will always answer my phone, no matter who I am, where I am, you know, et cetera. I feel like these type of values that I brought to the mortgage space were somewhat unique, not normal. You know, typically you walk into a retail bank, you're talking to a guy, you know, that might be behind a desk. You may not get their cell phone, right? They may not give you that cell phone number. They may not text with you. They may only answer emails once a day. Bringing that heightened sense of service, you know, that's always been the key to our success. But I love it. I truly love working with clients, especially on the transactions where lender A said no. Right. And here comes Andrew saying yes, getting them into the house, you know, making them have kids, getting them to the school district. There's so much excitement, you know, getting to the end, getting to the closing. Here we are. I told you, if you just trusted in me and my company, you'd get this house. Going to their closing, taking the selfies, you know, staying friends with people because of just the age demographic. I truly love that. And of course, we make a few dollars. I'm not going to lie. You know, we're obviously...
That's nothing wrong with that, Andrew. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with the hustle, but I feel we deserve what we make because we put our blood, sweat, and tears into making sure this happens. And yes, as big as I am, and as much as I'm a sports guy and like a big dude, I love speaking to people, infancy stage, a lot of anxiety, speaking at, you know, in terms they understand, empathizing, walking them through the whole process, getting them to the end, getting them into a house, you know, and going from there. That type of stuff, for whatever reason, I love doing it.
So let's, and I love the passion, obviously. It's another common denominator with so many entrepreneurs because of, like you said, there's so much that we dedicate and sacrifice to have our businesses. Let's go down a different path for a moment. So you've been in business 5 years, your own business, and you have nearly 50 employees. Again, that in itself is a great accomplishment. You know, management, being a business owner, not an easy task. Let me ask you, from your perspective, what is more important, being a leader or being a manager?
It's a great question. You know, I feel I've learned from people in this business, right? The people have made seven figures, even eight figures. People that I've been around, my ecosystem in mortgage that made eight figures. And as I've gone up, the most successful were the most humble. Always something to learn, you know, things of that sort. So to me, I'm in coaching groups. I probably, with my own money in the last couple of years, spent six figures cash. Like, think of what you could do with six figures, right? I just was in my honeymoon in Greece. I can't even tell you how amazing a time me and my wife would have had if I spent six figures on this honeymoon in Greece. So, you know, I've invested so much in myself. And my point is I've learned so much about myself where there are things that I'm phenomenal at. And there are things where there are people that I can plug in that help me with things I may not be the best at. You know, and that requires being humble because I don't think one person is great at everything per se. And what I've personally learned, and this is my opinion, there's a huge difference of a leader, leadership versus management. I'm not going to tell you I'm the best manager. I will tell you I am the best leader, right? Like the move over and let me hop into the war and like, you know, carry the sled myself. I will do that. But like taking the time to thoroughly train and go over, you know, a true manager, I have the best managers here, but I've also, that's because I've realized I need great managers because I'm in the front. I'm the leader. I'm leading by example. But it is a completely different craft. It's like saying, oh, I am great at dancing salsa, but I'm not that good at dancing tap. Just because you can dance salsa doesn't mean you can dance tap. So I've learned that leadership and management are two completely different things in mortgage. I know where I need help, right, to help grow and scale a company. I need great managers. And at this point, I have those great managers. I'm the type of guy, hey, Tim, you seem like you're talented. Let's get you into mortgage, right? Let's get you licensed. I'll do it for you. Cool. All right, man. Here are some clients. Figure it out. Sink or swim. You got this. Come into my office. Learn from me, right? Shout out to Evan Russell, my cousin, and Pete Papazoglou. They're called the mortgage guys at RCG. They were case in point example where I tried to manage by just leading. And they definitely swam. They didn't sink. But, like, I don't take the time necessarily – like the management stuff, that's not necessarily in my blood. Leading, you know, meticulous business plan.
Right.
Example, showing up early, leaving late, all that stuff, that's what I do. But the management side, I think there's a huge difference, you know, if that answers your question. And I just know for myself as a human being, you know, to grow a company as a single owner, what I need. And great managers is definitely a portion of what I need to grow. And I definitely have them. But that's definitely a skill, you know, a wrinkle in my brain I've had to work on when I realized I had that like aha moment, like, oh my God, I'm not that good of a manager. I'm an amazing leader, you know, through and through. People here, you know, they would, you know, go through walls for me, right? Just like I would for them. But the point, that doesn't have anything to do with management. You know, that was a big moment for me recently that I've realized. And that's something.
So the realization again, you're a stronger leader than manager, but then also appreciating how vital the right manager is.
Absolutely. I mean, to be a manager, a great manager, man, you have to have patience. And Andrew Russell has all the patience in the world for children. But, you know, for adults, like, just because I'm such a, you know, an aggressive person, a great leader, I'm so passionate, as you can see. And this is, you're not even in person to feel the energy for mortgage.
Right.
But like, when people don't mimic what I do, sometimes I don't understand it. Why are you here at 9:15 when the meeting's at 9 or 8:45? I mean, listen, I played college football. If you showed up later than 15 minutes early, so if you weren't 15 minutes early or more, you're considered late, the whole team would run. And nobody likes that in college, man. So that's just like the headspace that really has stuck, right? So managing is patience. Hey, why are you late? All right, cool. Let's work on it. You know, it's a little more patience. I think for me, it's like sometimes us alphas like to run together. And when people aren't keeping up with pack, you know, that's a different skill set that I've hired people to accommodate.
So you've had tremendous success in 5 years. Again, congratulations on that kind of success. I think it was Scotsman that ranked you guys number one in Long Island, number two in the state, 36 in the country. Now I'm going to ask you a difficult question, and you can only give me one answer. Although I know there's multiple factors. Here's a question, one answer. What would be the number one factor you would attribute to the success that RCG Mortgage has created in a short period of time?
The number one, persistence.
Okay. Persistence of who?
So you know that saying, right? Like, what is failure to you, Tim? Failure is not failing at one thing, right? Like, oh, this, you know, gave that a shot. Same thing for entrepreneurs. Gave that a shot. Tried this model, you know, got knocked down. Failure is not getting knocked down. Failure is not getting back up.
Exactly.
We do not stay down, right? And that's with everything, right? So our persistence. Me as a business owner, it's not easy. You know, it was not easy opening a mortgage company. Check this out, Tim. I'll tell you a funny story. So NAMBI, National Association of Mortgage Professionals, there was an award called the Kickstart Award, right?
Right.
I won out of a, I don't even know how many people won in the country that year. Well, a couple, $10,000 as a grant to start your own mortgage company. Cool. Who's better than me? Man, I needed that money. So I ended up building out a space that I was not even able to use because I didn't realize you have to vet your space with the banking department before, it, like, they had to approve the location. I didn't know that. They denied the location. So I spent most of my grant money building out for a location I couldn't even use, right?
That was a
horrible email when I, from my, the regulator was like, hey, Andrew, so this location is actually ineligible for mortgage. I was like, cool, I'll go to the one that is eligible. Meanwhile, I just burned all this money with wiring and putting like a TV on, like all that. Most of the money was burned. So
Right.
I've had Inc. 5000. They've rated us cool. You know, I'm the number one mortgage broker loan originator on Long Island. Cool. Doesn't mean the whole way was peaches and cream, man. Right.
Right.
There's been money spent that should. So that's what I would attribute my success to. I get knocked down just like us all, but I never, ever, ever stay down. Why? Because I'm a leader, and it's almost impossible, if not impossible, to keep me down. My persistence in business, you know, in life, that's been the key factor, I think, to get me to exactly where I am today.
Well, listen, Andrew, it's been a great conversation. I always love to highlight, you know, any company, but particularly a Long Island company that has the kind of success you've had. And again, a relatively short period of time, you know, how quickly 5 years goes by, and then also making the Inc. 5000 list. Again, you know, congratulations to you and your team. That's a great accomplishment. So the listeners of the show, they are the entrepreneurs, people like you. They're sales professionals. They're sales managers. What would be the one takeaway, they're listening, the one thing that you would want them to take away from our chat today? What would that be, Andrew?
I mean, look, you look at this guy, right? This big guy wearing a blue suit with all this like whiteboard stuff. And like, you know, what could you take away from me, my energy, what I've done? And it's real simple. I believe in myself. I know, and this is just who I am, right? I know that if I have a vision and it's planned out, I will execute on it. So the takeaway always has to be believe in yourself. You know, in a world that there's a lot of instability, you know, it's very risky to go out on your own, right? You have all sorts of dynamics. Maybe you're married, insurance. Like if you're the sole breadwinner, what happens if you fail? Always believe in yourself. There's always going to be those two people on your shoulders. You know, you got this, man. You're going to succeed. You know, put your mind to it. You'll never fail. And of course, the what if you fail? Oh my God, this is what's going to happen if you fail.
Right.
You might fail. Like, it's always a battle and everybody battles it. So the takeaway has to be believe in yourself. Always.
Love it. Love it. That's a great way to end it. Listen, Andrew, thanks so much for your time today. Thanks for being on board the Profit Express. It's been a great conversation, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tim. Thanks so much.
All right. And this is the Profit Express. And as always, I thank you for being on board the Profit Express. And we do it each and every Wednesday so I can help you win the battle for business and be on the lookout for great shows like the one I just had with Andrew Russell. He's the owner of RCG Mortgage. Listen, I'm excited about mortgages. I mean, you know, his passion is contagious. It's fantastic. So follow me in the show. Follow us on Instagram at the Profit Express. On Twitter at Profit_Express. Like us and follow us on YouTube as well. And until next time, this is the Profit Express.